Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. This week and last on WAMC, we've been bringing you special coverage of the national political conventions from our partners at NPR and PBS. Rachel Martin has been in the thick of it, on the floor talking to delegates, in the midst of stirring convention speeches. Martin is heard each week on these airwaves as host of Weekend Edition Sunday, and she joins us now from Philadelphia. Good morning.
Hi, Ian.
So yesterday got off to a somewhat raucous start. Was that expected?
Well, the Democrats sure didn't want it to be that way. This whole WikiLeaks drop and the subsequent drama that ensued over the ouster of the DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and the ire this whole thing stirred up with the Bernie supporters, this was exactly the opposite of how Democrats wanted to begin their convention. They had seen the kind of tension that emerged through the RNC convention in Cleveland last week, and really wanted to demonstrate that they were the unified party, that they were the party that had it all together. Everyone was in line on the same page. Not so, as illustrated by just day one of this convention.
A lot of the really pro-Clinton supporters on your broadcast said, well, this is day one jitters and people are getting it out of their systems. And, you know, by the rest of this week, these disagreements should be really tamped down. Do you see that happening?
So yes and no. For some people, this is bigger than Bernie Sanders, as he has said. Bernie Sanders has said before, you know, even last night in his address, this is not just about me. It's a movement, and the movement goes on. But for some of these people, they are in this for the long haul, and they will not be told to vote for Hillary Clinton. They just won't. There will be some of them who just either leave the top of the ticket blank or vote for Jill Stein of the Green Party, write in someone else. But I would say, based on the conversations that I had in the arena last night, the majority of the Bernie supporters I spoke with are reluctantly going to support Hillary Clinton. You know, they will say that their heart's not in it. It's she's definitely not their first choice. But when pushed, to look at a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as the two most plausible candidates, they will say, listen, I have way more in common with Hillary Clinton. There's just no way I would ever vote for Donald Trump. And so the DNC, the Democratic Party, is hoping that that will be reflected throughout kind of the tenor of the week, that early in the week, you know, this is when people get their moment. Today will be the roll call when those states that went for Bernie Sanders, those delegates will get their moment to say that their state has gone for the senator from Vermont, not Hillary Clinton. But they, party officials, are hoping that after that, that by the time you get to speeches by Barack Obama, by the time you get to Hillary Clinton's keynote Thursday, that there will be a different sense of unity in the hall.
This may be a rhetorical question, so I hope you'll forgive me, but for those holdouts, the maybe small percentage of the Bernie supporters who say they'll never vote for Clinton, what do they want at this point?
Well, the truth is they're not going to get what they want. They want Bernie Sanders. I spoke with one woman who said, I still believe he's the most electable. She still believes that he could win in a general election over Donald Trump, that he would do better than Hillary Clinton. And so there's another woman I spoke with said that the only thing she's holding out for is to create a kind of accountability commission after all this is said and done to hold Hillary Clinton accountable to the Democratic National Committee's platform. It's a platform Bernie Sanders talked about in his address and called it the most progressive in history. He's really trying to draw his supporters' attention to that platform and say, this is where you made a difference. I may not be the nominee, but you changed the debate. You changed the party's position on a lot of the issues that matter to you. And so, you know, I think people are really trying to get their heads around what this was all about, especially for the diehard supporters. And so there is this kind of emotional reckoning happening this week for a lot of people.
You were in Cleveland last week, and perhaps the most raucous moment at that convention came when Ted Cruz said to vote your conscience, didn't explicitly say vote for Donald Trump in November. The Democratic Convention has many more delegates than the RNC did, but how would you compare the mood in the room through, you know, one day of the two conventions?
Yeah, just no comparison. The dissent here is stronger. And as you rightly note, it's just a bigger crowd, for one. But the people I spoke with in Cleveland at the RNC, those in particular who were from the state of Texas, really hardcore Ted Cruz supporters, who were not happy about voting for Donald Trump at all, they had come around. And even they, who loved Ted Cruz, were annoyed at his speech and said, "What's this guy doing? It's all about him. We need to come together as a party." And that is just not the case here. There is just the division seems more deeply entrenched because those people who support Bernie Sanders are just more vociferous, and they are, at least their rhetoric is such that they're saying, "No way, Bernie or bust. I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton." And I just didn't hear as much of that in Cleveland at the RNC.
So I want to go through some of the speeches last night. Here in the Northeast, we're, you know, all of the figures we cover are making an appearance just about. And last night we had, before Senator Sanders, we had Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. What was your take on her speech?
So she has been cast as the kind of attack dog in this campaign, as the person who can reach out and do a couple of different things. She can reach out to the progressive wing, those Bernie Sanders supporters, and say, "Listen, I get you. I'm with you. Your issues are my issues, and I'm voting for Hillary Clinton, and I need you to do the same thing." She also has not been afraid to go directly after Donald Trump. She's done it before. She kind of takes on this a little bit of a snarky tone with him in tweets and in her rhetoric, and she gets him stirred up. Donald Trump then responds to her on Twitter. How does that go over? It's hard to say. She didn't fling out as much red meat as some had suspected that she might to get the crowd really stirred up, but I think she did a fair job. She was one of the first voices to really go after Donald Trump in an aggressive way. We might see some of those more personal attacks ramp up as the week continues.
And we've certainly talked about his supporters, but what about the Vermont junior senator himself, Senator Sanders, who, it should be noted, did take quite a while after the primary season ended to endorse Secretary Clinton?
Took him a long time. Said he was going to take it all the way to the convention, which he has, because he even told his supporters in his address, "I look forward," he was speaking to his delegates from states that went for him, "I look forward to tomorrow night, Tuesday night, when you can give your votes on the floor. I welcome your votes." And so he's reaching out to his supporters. He is thanking them. But at the same time, he's been working really hard to get them on board for Hillary Clinton. He even sent out a personal email to his supporters yesterday, discouraging them from staging any kind of theatrics on the convention floor. He said, "Our revolution is being judged by our behavior in this moment." He said, "You know, please don't boo, don't turn your backs on speakers, don't interrupt them." And he closed the email by saying, I'm asking you as a personal courtesy to me not to do this, that it somehow taints the work that movement has achieved." And so he is doing his utmost to try to rein his supporters in, to try to create a sense of unity.
We're speaking with Rachel Martin of NPR. She is taking part in the special coverage we've been airing each night here on WAMC from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Let's talk about the First Lady's address last night, Michelle Obama. People who remember the 2008 campaign know that there were some hard feelings between Secretary Clinton and Michelle Obama, the First Lady. But last night, she seemed to put all of that in the past.
You know, many people have been saying this could be the best speech of Michelle Obama's professional career. She was speaking for Hillary Clinton as a mother, as a woman, as a first lady. They actually have a lot in common, these two people. They're not the closest of friends, but you don't have to be to respect one another. And it was very interesting. Michelle Obama connects so much with people and with people in her party, and her poll numbers are so high. She gives great talks. She's a great orator, But I have never seen her get emotional in a public address before. She may have. I just haven't seen it. And she did last night when she was talking about her girls and kind of reflecting on the last 8 years. Those two girls have grown up in the White House. And, you know, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to be able to quote it verbatim, but a couple of the really powerful lines out of her speech, she said she wakes up every morning in a house that slaves built. Mm-hmm. And then she gets to go outside and watch her two black daughters playing on the lawn with their dogs, you know, while their dad works in the West Wing as President of the United States. Pretty amazing. And then she tied all that together by talking about Hillary Clinton as the woman who can lead this country in this moment as someone who is a role model for her own daughters. And it was that moment when she got emotional in her address. So I'm sure this is a significant moment for her. Clearly, it's been a long 8 years for their family. And, you know, in many ways, I'm sure they're ready to start a new chapter. But her final message in that address was, there is still work to do. We need to do the work. You got to go out. You got to knock on doors. You got to campaign. This isn't over. And she was making a personal plea as one of Hillary Clinton's most popular surrogates that the party has to come together, that this moment is important and everyone has to get on board.
Let's look forward to tonight. President Bill Clinton will be making an address. He, of course, 4 years ago, delivered a very stark supporting speech for President Obama. Now, this time, his wife is on the ticket. What are you expecting to hear?
Well, it's going to be really interesting. He's clearly done this before, right? He's been a surrogate for her in her previous presidential bid, but this will be different because she's going to be the nominee. And this needs to be, you know, a home run in terms of presenting a personal character sketch of her. So much of the criticism that's levied at Hillary Clinton is about trustworthiness and character. And, you know, Bill Clinton, he doesn't exactly have a stellar record on those issues either. And Republicans are quick to point that out. They like to talk a lot about his infidelities and bring up Monica Lewinsky and when they can. But he still is popular among Democrats, and he still can illuminate something about Hillary Clinton that no one else can. You know, he has spent a lifetime with her as in their marriage and has seen her grow politically. And so I'm going to be looking for him to see how personal he gets and to see if he is willing to reveal something about her that exposes a vulnerability, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but to humanize her in a different way. And I think people will be looking, even craving, that from him in his address.
And then later in the week, of course, we will hear from Secretary Clinton herself and the current president, President Obama. Certainly many pundits have made the point that this election itself will be key to President Obama's legacy if he can hand off the White House to another Democrat and a former rival. What do you expect to hear from him?
Yeah, it would be huge. It's just not the way politics goes. Usually, you know, after 8 years, the opposite party comes out ahead in the presidential election. So it would be very significant for him to be able to hand that off to another Democrat and his Secretary of State and his former rival. Their relationship has evolved a lot from the 2008 campaign when, you know, he kind of snickered and said, yeah, you're likable enough, Hillary, and his own campaign cringed in that moment. They have grown to develop a real affection for one another. I think they trust one another. And she is counting on him. His approval ratings are higher than Hillary Clinton's or Donald Trump's, which isn't saying much because those approval ratings are so low. But for an outgoing president, he's doing pretty well in terms of polling. And so this is going to be a moment where Barack Obama comes out and makes the case as to why Hillary Clinton is the best person for this job. He's going to say, I know what it's like to have to make these difficult decisions. I understand the pressures, and not many people do. You don't get it until you're the one who is sitting behind that desk in the Oval Office, forced with impossible decisions and choices. And he's going to make the case that Hillary Clinton is the best equipped person to do that job in this election, and he will argue probably in any election, because she does just have such an experienced resume. And so that will be his job tonight.
Well, Rachel Martin appears on these airwaves each weekend on Weekend Edition Sunday. She's also been part of the special coverage that begins at 8 p.m. from NPR and PBS. She'll be on the floor with the delegates. And Rachel Martin, we really appreciate you taking some time out of a busy week to join us here this morning.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.